Look at the power that a community displayed for over 6 years when it put its mind to a public priority. Atlanta, Georgia just had to have the 1996 Olympics, and they got it. Nothing else, right or wrong, was more important. There's a third major and final piece in our equation. It's not enough to have desire. It's not enough to have persuasion and transaction skills. The third major dimensions of the sales mind is timing power, or how to leverage your opportunities. Let's ask some questions. Well, you know, what if you have desire and you've got purpose and can get up in the morning and you've got persuasion power and all the way from connection through leverage, but what if you're not at the right place at the right time with the right ideas with the right person? The other two things, desire and persuasion, are simply not going to be enough. So let's ask some additional questions. First of all, does your priority system or the things that you do first, do they support your values and your goals in life? Does your priority system generate profits for you in business? Does it increase your leverage? Do your priorities compensate you for the risks you're taking? Do they take your top customers in mind? Because, you know, if you have a priority system, the only thing matters is that you are effective. So now we're going to look at this overall issue of timing, or how to better leverage your opportunities, by looking overall at four key pieces. The first, as I've been asking questions, is priority, which is identifying those opportunities that are most profitable. And then second, three, and four, which we'll discuss in modules in a moment in detail, are second, control, which is processing information, coverage, which is expanding your influence, and making adjustments, which is really maximizing your performance by making changes. So back to priority. You know, the sales mind doesn't have time to connect to the wrong things that are unprofitable in business. The sales mind really reacts to the truth that, you know, if you have worked that day and you haven't produced something, you've lost and wasted time. And really, a sales mind does not have enough time to waste on unproductive things. So if you look at it, setting priorities is a decision-making process, plain and simple, and those decisions have to be placed in perspective. You know, when you make good decisions with good assumptions, you will equally, consistently get good results. And also the opposite is true. If you make bad decisions based on bad assumptions, that's going to equate to bad results. So now we're going to look at the reality. What constitutes a priority? So let's look at the word for a minute, priority. That's another one of those words in our language is tossed around a lot in life and in business. So let's try to detail out what, in fact, in relation to a sales mind, a priority is. Priority is really two things. And those two things are simply this. It's first of all, when your desire and your persuasion efforts are, one, directed at the best and most profitable opportunities, and then number two, within those opportunities is extracting the best possible results by proper timing. So that is how we're going to view a priority, and it's really any activity that meets that tough demand of making that current sales business of yours more profitable with the best timing. Now let's look at an additional question. How do you know when what you're classifying a quote-unquote priority is in fact a priority? Here are some great guidelines, some great simple rules for you to use. You know, first of all, that you have a priority when that priority supports your values, your goals, and your emotional life. Go back to our section on purpose. We give you a lot of detail there. And then also, you know you have a priority when that priority can pass through a filter, a sales mind filter, that I call the 7 questions of decision for which to take actions. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And then you also know you truly have a priority when you can answer hard questions of risk to return on use of your time and your actions and activities. You also know you have a priority when you can fulfill your plan as a time scheme of daily actions, weekly actions, monthly actions, quarterly actions, and yearly actions, and to make sure those actions all synchronize and fit together in a pattern and that they're harmonious. And then, finally, you know you really have a priority or something we classify as a priority as a sales mind when you have the assistance of tools, computers, planners, note cards, files to organize and achieve information management that you can control. So ultimately what we're trying to get to is which transactions to focus on and pursue with our time and our efforts. So now we're examining priorities, and this is very important to recognize with this whole issue of being a sales mind and having a priority system. That priority system for a sales mind's business has to have a flow. It has to have a beginning set of assumptions and information, and then we're going to discuss a four-step priority process of how to build on a foundation through these four steps to have an overall plan. I call this the priority sifter, and it has four steps from beginning to end. The first step, and I mentioned this earlier, is isolating for all of your activities as a business sales mind and a personal sales mind the seven questions of decision, because it's from these decisions you'll make consciously, not unconsciously, that you'll take your actions that we talked about back in Action Law 3. And then secondly, from that foundation of those seven questions of decision needs to flow a question, and that question is this: what is the known historical data on a sales territory or account base or base of business relative to two key questions for an upcoming period, whether it's a quarter, year, or a month? And the first question is, how much current customer revenue and gross profit contribution to my forecast can I assume? And then the second question is, how much non-customer or prospect dollars needed for the same? Let me make that simple. Let's say that 100% of what you're forecasting for a quarter is X amount of dollars. And you say, all right, first of all, I have to look at current customers. How much of that 100% can I forecast? And let's say that's 70%. Well, that leaves an obvious answer, not necessarily the actions, but it leaves an answer for our second question is, well then, where do I get that other 30%? And very simply, it's got to come from prospects. So our second question is, what am I going to forecast? And those dollars can only come from two places. Customers, our example, 70%, and then that leaves 30% for prospect dollars. All right, so number one is the seven questions of decision. We'll ask and answer those in a second. Secondly is this forecasting. Where are the dollars going to come from? And then that has to flow to a third key area, a third key questions. And that is the hard risk return questions of where am I, the sales mind, going to spend my time and my energy, and any dollars might be a budget that's allocated or any resources in terms of capital or company expenditures that I can control or at least influence. So, you know, those hard risk return questions are going to come basically again in four areas. They are, again, current customers. Secondly is accounts contacted that are in the sales pipeline. And then thirdly is pure prospect activities, those that are not in the pipeline, they haven't been presented to, they haven't been proposed to in terms of dollars. And then the fourth area is our own company demands. So this whole third area of these risk return questions of current customers, accounts contacted in the pipeline, prospect activities, and our own company demands will finally take us to the four key area in our priority filter or our priority flow. And that fourth area is this question: based on those goals and forecasts and the assumptions that I've validated about what I'm going to achieve, and then my best attempts to answer those questions, I'm finally going to have this fourth area, which is an intelligent daily, weekly, and monthly, and maybe yearly, set of consistent priorities, and listen carefully, that do this, that carry the greatest possible return of sales and profits with the least risk of those misdirected resources we talked about, time, energy, and capital, and also that limit my opportunity costs, which basically means I should be over at contact person B or customer B instead of A, because B carries a greater return, and if I'm in A or I'm contacting A, that's what we would call an opportunity cost. So we have our seven questions of decision. We're going to discuss that now, to a forecast, to our answering the tough questions about what am I going to risk, what do I project my return in various areas to be, and then finally into a master list of customers, those in the pipeline, prospecting activities, and those demands in our own company. Let's keep our perspective. Overall, we're talking about timing power. And timing power is basically, how do you leverage and get the most out of your best opportunities? And that is, in fact, four pieces. The first we're discussing now is priority. Next, we're going to talk about control of information. After that, we're going to talk about coverage or expanding your influence. And finally, in this program, in this piece of timing, we're going to talk about making adjustments. So let's go back to that priority filter, that sifter that we have, and look at what I mentioned previously are those seven questions of decision. Here they are. To make decisions about what your priorities are going to be for your activities, our first question is, who do you overall in all of your business, who do you contact in any sales call and get the most impact? The second question is, when do I call any contact for the best chance of connection? Is that early in the morning, late in the afternoon? Try to find out their travel schedule to catch them in the office. So you have a when do you call question. Thirdly is, you know, in the call I'm going to make, what call elements do I want to plan and be prepared to focus on, to ask questions, those kinds of issues. And then fourthly is, how much time do I spend in a sales call based in that planning? There's nothing worse than going into a call open-ended, and that's not including those instances where the prospect or customer stops you short, but those when you've got an unlimited amount of time and you don't plan the amount of time you spend. And then our next question is, question number five, is how much daily flex time should I plan for contingencies? One of the worst mistakes I see sales minds make is trying to plan 100% of their day. There's no way you can plan 100% of your day, because at least 20% of your day is going to be interruptions and beeps and buzzes and memos you're handed and things you didn't plan on, certainly customers to respond to. So plan 80% of your business and leave 20% or more for flex time. Question of decision number six then, you know, how much potential return on the investment for my risk of time and energy can I anticipate? In other words, if I call on this account, what do I expect my yield to be in terms of sale dollars, and when do I expect it? And then finally, to help us making our priority decisions is, and then based on all of those assumptions above, how should I prioritize my activities and energy? Because when you think about it, a sales mind only has certain resources. That's your knowledge and information, that's your time, that's any money that you have to spend, and that's your energy. So those seven questions of decision are critical to begin to sort out where you're going to establish your priorities and spend your time. Remember, what we're establishing is a four-step, what I call priority filter, that will give you a flow. We talked first of all about our first element of isolating for all of your activities those key seven questions that will help you make decisions. Now our second area is, once you ask those questions, the answers to those questions should begin to flow into a forecast. which is basically the intelligence and the asking of questions of where those sales dollars are going to come from. So you begin with asking, what is the known historical data and information on my sales territory or account base in relation to two key areas? One is customer dollars that we know about that have been spent by the customer where there is some relationship and that we're connected to. And then secondly, the remaining dollars that we're going to have to forecast to make up a total forecast that have to come from prospects. So again, let's go back to our previous example. Let's say that you were asked to generate a forecast for the upcoming year. So the first thing you say to yourself, all right, a forecast is 100% of those dollars. The very first two questions you have to ask yourself is, how much dollars is going to come from a customer and my customer base? And then how many dollars are going to come from prospecting activities or dollars I don't know about? So the first area is dollars that you know about, and the second area is dollars that you're going to have to go find. So you begin asking questions, how am I going to assume I'm really going to get those customer dollars? What am I basing that on? And then for the remainder, and let's use our example of 70%, for customer forecasted dollars and 30% for prospect forecasted dollars. Looking at those prospect dollars, where are those prospects? Where is that money and revenue going to come from? What activities that are prospecting and marketing oriented am I going to either be in unison with if they're from my company or do individually in terms of prospect contact? So it's very important to recognize now there's another issue. It's the use of your time and the taking of your actions. Let's use our 70-30 example. 70% of my forecast customer, 30% of my forecast prospect. It's very important that you keep track of how you use your time and where you make your calls, because I'm leading to an obvious point. If 70% of your revenue is projected for the next year to come from customers, then it ought to be obvious. 70% of your time needs to be spent in those contact activities and the building of those relationships. And then add to the 30% prospect revenue. It's pretty obvious. 30% of your time and your actions need to be spent at a bare minimum on prospect activities, or there's no way in the world that you're going to hit that 30% of forecast. So this is very important to ask yourself overall, all right, what do I know about my account base? And then within that say, all right, 70% I can project from customers. I got to go get 30%. And a sales mind then begins to go on to their third area in this sifter, this flow, which are the hard questions of daily activity of risk and return. In other words, where am I going to spend my time and effort? And where do I expect my returns to come from? And then back to our example, 70% of the dollars from customers, 30% from prospects. So let's look at those risk return questions of your individual resources. Let's look at those now. Remember, as a sales mind, we're establishing a priority system. First of all, with what I call the seven questions of decision. Nextly, to be able to forecast customer and prospect dollars. From those two pieces of foundation, we go to our third area, our third question. And the question is, what are the hard and tough questions that you have to answer as a sales mind about the overall principle of risk and return? Now, what do we first of all mean by that? Well, in business and conducting effective business, risk and return is based on really a couple different principles. One is we want to lower our risks. In other words, how we extend ourselves, things that are unknown, bad things that can happen to us, resources that we consume. We want to lower our risk. In other words, try to know as much of what we're going to know and what we're going to achieve so that we, in effect, maximize our returns, those things that come back to us in terms of customer dollars, customer goodwill, customer happiness, those kinds of things. So in terms of simple math, for every unit of risk of how we extend ourselves to chase our opportunities as a sales mind, we want many units of return to come back to us. And then the second major question is the issue of what I call sales mind capital, which are basically, how do I allocate my carefully chosen resources. And really, a sales mind in terms of having capital, really that capital is four pieces. It's knowledge and experience. There's the capital of time. There's the capital of energy. And then there's the hard capital of money. Any money that you spend as a sales mind or that your company spends in budgeting or marketing. So we're trying to maximize our returns, lower our risk. So to do that, we ask ourselves and then we answer questions in four key areas. One is, remember those current customers. And questions like this, how do I gain stronger relationships with decision makers in my customer accounts? How do I gain wider relationships? In other words, more influencers within one account, more people on my side, my team. How within that account do I pursue more revenue? How within that account do I get more gross profit? How do we as a company and me in communicating as a sales mind add new lines and new products? How do we extend new or better value-added components? Go back to our section on value. How do we handle problems and take service calls and make those opportunities? So those risk and return questions, first of all, are directed to current customers. Now, secondly, those risk return questions are directed to accounts already contacted and in the sales pipeline. Now, when we say accounts, we can mean one of two things. Either expanding an account that is a customer where we've contacted them, we're expanding the customer, or secondly, a prospect who hasn't spent any money with us before that we've contacted and there is an outstanding proposal for them to consider. So here's some things as a sales mind we can ask. How much money is in that bid that we presented and then sent them in terms of dollars? And then, you know, what in terms of leverage, what is my position so far in the advancement of that proposed business? Is it stalled? Is it sent off to another city? I don't know what it is. Or am I carefully tracking it and it's moving along? How long has the cycle gone on? Obviously, one of our major, major mindsets is how do we shorten any sales cycle? And then how much does it cost me to continue to pursue that piece of business? What are the roadblocks? So a sales mind is always keeping their mind on those individuals or organizations that they've contacted, and they're trying to manage that pipeline. Now, the third area is those pure prospecting activities, asking questions like this: who do I contact? Where is that person? For prospecting activities, do I have any data on that company or on that individual, whether it's business? And obviously the best world is to have also some personal data. What is, you know, could I find out information from their suppliers? Am I going to have to do some personal marketing to find as things like trade shows and personal mailers and obviously contact activities like phone calls or emails? If there is a marketing program in my company, how do I handle lead response for prospect activities? Is prospecting that I'll be doing seasonal? Do we fit with this organization in the first place? Or are we prospecting to a company that really doesn't fit who we want to bring onto our client team? Again, back to the sales cycle. Do I know consistently and as an average how long the sales cycle is going to take? You know, and how do I engineer these calls to give themselves their most impact? You know, what is my media mix? So the third question we ask is, you know, how do we set up the best relationship of risk to return for prospect activities? And then finally is, the fourth area is, our own company demands. You know, some of your time has got to be spent responding to those demands of your company. Things like, you know, meetings, how much time, where, when, what time of year. How much time to get prepared for? You know, what expectations does my company have of me in terms of reporting and forms and paperwork and administrative things that I have to do, expenses that I have to both manage and watch and monitor as well as to generate a report for? Are there, I might be in a branch operation or a district or a region, and I might have to respond to some overall corporate requirements. You know, our corporate entity might be in New York or San Francisco, and there's always some demands that our particular branch or region or district has to the corporation. You know, do I have to spend some time in education on product updates? And do I have to communicate with other departments? How much overall time do I estimate I'm going to have to spend as a sales mind responding to our company demands? So we have four key areas when we ask ourselves questions about risk and return. Current customers, Secondly, accounts, it could be customer or prospect, that I've already contacted and that I'm managing in the sales pipeline. Three is pure prospect activities. And fourth is our own company demands. They all take time. You have to try to allocate how much time for each. And our final piece in this overall flow for priorities needs to then, because now you've really done all the work, simply needs to be a written operating plan. And it's based on those goals and those forecasts and those assumptions that you've validated and the questions you've asked and answered from the first three areas is finally to have a draft of an intelligent daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly set of consistent priorities in writing, in a plan, in a scheme that carry, listen carefully, that carry the greatest possible return of sales and profits with the least risk of misdirected time, resources, energy, opportunity, cost, and experience. That is what we're ultimately after, is that plan, our fourth area, by doing the first three areas of the seven questions of decision, making our forecast, looking at our risk and returns, boop, to come up with our plan.